today as we come to the table.
The bottom line is that this was still going to be a tough journey for Paul in the midst of all this. And yet God protected him. Now, guys, here's the thing that really blew me away and had never, ever occurred to me until this week. Had it not been for the storm that brought fear to Paul's heart, he would not have been protected from the accusations. What's my point? A lot of times, whatever trial you're facing, God will allow a storm to come in, and it might seem fearful, it might seem vicious, it might seem something that can bring you down and sink your ship, and it's the very thing that God is going to use to protect you. Remember, God is the one in control. Isn't that great?
Pastor Mark has been following Paul through his missionary journeys in the book of Acts, but now Paul is in chains on his way to Rome for a trial. And not only that, but he's been shipwrecked and bitten by a snake. He was in the middle of a trial when things just seemed to keep getting darker. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In every dark and frightening step of the way, God was taking care of Paul. Pastor Mark is here to remind you and I today that no matter how dark and frightening life may seem, God is still the one in control. So if you've been shipwrecked and snake bit and you're headed to trial, remember that God is still in control. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts chapter 28 as he continues his message, Finishing Well.
When God said, Paul, I'm going to get you to Rome, he probably didn't think it was going to be through prison and through, you know, shipwreck and all these other things and snake bite and everything else that came his way. And some of you are going, well, God's made promises to me and I've had lots of snake bites and shipwreck and I'm right there with Paul. Well, I don't know where you are as far as that goes, but I can say this. If God has promised to get you there, he's going to get you there wherever you may roam, so to speak. All right, sorry. Anyway, you're supposed to be more awake. You know, my girls would say, we are awake. It's just not funny, Dad. Well, let's jump into it. This is Paul's last leg, Paul's big finish, Paul's, you know, heading out to Rome finally. And notice in verse 11, it says, after 3 months, well, by the way, we pick up in midstream. Remember, he's had the shipwreck. He's been on Malta. They've been there for the winter. Now the winter has gone. That's where we take up verse 11. After 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers, which had wintered there for the island. Again, finished out the 3 months of winter and the storms, and now getting ready to head on into Rome. The centurion here had now commandeered another ship to transfer his prisoners on with the figurehead of the twin brothers, Castor and Pollux. These were, I guess if you want to put it this way, the two good luck gods of the sea. And so he's on this ship now where they have this, good luck gods of the sea. Supposedly many of the sailors in that pagan day would have done that. And landing at Syracuse, we stayed there for 3 days. From there, we circled around and reached Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew. The next day we came to Puteoli, where we found brethren, and we were invited to stay with them 7 days, and so we went to Rome. Now remember, there were lots of believers in that area. Paul had been traveling all over the world by this time. Paul had already gone into Asia. He'd gone all around Rome. He'd been everywhere spreading the word of God. The word of God had spread into Rome. There was a church there establishing itself in Rome, even though Paul hadn't been there yet. So all these things are happening. Paul has been the planter and the father of it all. And now some of these brothers they find, when they get close, begin to come around Paul before they get into Rome. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and Three Inns. Those are two different cities. And when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Now, this is interesting to me because Appii Forum and Three Inns, Appii Forum is about 41 miles outside of Rome. Three Inns, about 30 miles outside of Rome. But what struck me about this is that Paul was headed to Rome, but even before Paul got there, they went out to see Paul. Why? They loved him. Paul was the one who'd been ministering to them. And by the way, to travel this distance, that wasn't easy in that day. 41 miles today, you know, we hop in a car, we drive it or whatever, no big deal. Back then, you walked it. Or maybe you took a horse, but still, if you've ever ridden a horse for any distance, you don't want to ride for 41 miles. I mean, I've ridden horses some. I remember a few years back, some guy on a ranch, you know, that went to our church wanted me to help him bring his cattle down the mountain. He said, come on, hop on a horse. I'm like, I'm not a horseman. He said, well, you are today. Get on the horse, you know. And so I hopped on the horse and really pretty much just ended up back in the trees and getting hit by limbs. I don't think I chased one cow down the mountain. I was glad just to get out alive, quite honestly. But riding a horse is it's not an easy thing to do unless you're a horseman, unless it's something you know to do. And even at that, riding that distance is not that easy and not that fun to do. And yet they traveled out to see Paul. And I think there's a couple of reasons they did that. Number one, they loved him and they wanted to encourage him, which we're going to see in a minute, he was encouraged. But guys, note this also. I think it was because Paul was such a great teacher. Whenever Paul came around, people would gather in large crowds and they would stay all day long. Why? Because they were getting fed, they were getting ministered to, and they were growing. And you know what? When you find a place where you're getting fed, it's worth the drive. It's worth the travel. I've heard some people say, well, I don't want to go to that church. It's 10 miles away. I'm like, are you getting fed there? Yes. Then go there. Where's the nearest church you're getting fed at? If it's 5 miles away, praise the Lord. If it's 100 miles away, I don't know about you guys, I would drive 100 miles to get fed the word of God. Now, you might think that's radical, but I want to get fed. I want to hear. I want to be somewhere where I'm getting ministered to. It's not a matter of convenience. And these guys said, hey, I just want to get to where I hear the word. We'll travel to wherever Paul is. And they did it. But again, also, they loved Paul, and they wanted to encourage Paul, and they wanted to minister to Paul. And so they traveled to these places. And notice it says, when he saw them, he thanked God, and he took courage. It's like, man, this is encouraging to see my brothers standing with me. And they took some effort to do it. And by the way, we need to encourage each other, don't we? Guys, we need encouragement. You guys need encouragement. I need encouragement. We all need encouragement in this walk, in just normal life, much less our walk with God. And I want to ask you a question. How far will you go to encourage a brother? Some of you guys went really far to encourage my family and Ebo's family and Travis's family just this past month. You went really far to encourage us because you were like, hey, I'm going to encourage these guys. Some of you did that. A lot of you did that. And the bottom line is that when you're going to try to encourage a brother or sister in the Lord, sometimes it takes sacrifice. Sometimes it takes maybe a little bit of a drive. Sometimes it takes maybe setting a day aside to go and talk with them because they need to be prayed with. They need to be ministered to. These guys were willing to sacrifice themselves to encourage Paul. And that challenged me. How much am I willing to sacrifice myself to encourage you guys? How much am I willing to sacrifice myself to encourage someone who's in great need and really hurting? This is where they were with Paul. Paul, we'll do whatever it takes. We love you. We know you've been in prison. We know you've had a hard time. We're going to spend time with you. We're going to come see you. We're going to pour into you. In verse 16, when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. Notice only one soldier with Paul when typically it was four. And Paul able to stay by himself. Why? Because Paul had proven himself trustworthy. He was, if you will, a model prisoner. And he shouldn't have been a prisoner at all. But because of that, they knew that Paul wasn't going to try to escape. If anything, the soldiers probably wanted to escape from Paul. it said that every so many hours, I think it was every 6 hours, you would have shifts, and the Roman soldiers would change with what it was they were chained to. And they would chain themselves to them or else guard them. In this case, probably just guarding them in his apartment. When they were traveling, they were literally chained to them, and sometimes in other situations. But my point is simply this. You know that everyone that was chained to Paul sharing the gospel. Think about it. It's like this guy's sitting there for 6 hours listening to Paul talk about Jesus and the fact that Jesus loves him. What he has to do? He's like, man, you know what? I didn't sign up for this. And if I wasn't, this wasn't my duty, I wouldn't be here, probably waiting for the next guy to come. Some probably enjoyed it. We know that many got saved in Herod's family and in the Roman soldiers, ranks. But at the same time, probably a lot of them were going, man, who's got Paul? You take him. I don't want you to. You take him. It's going to be the Jesus the whole time. It's going to be Jesus, the whole time. Well, we know everything about Jesus, And this was Paul. So again, it's interesting to see that who the real prisoner was probably here. Kind of amusing maybe in some ways. But again, notice God's blessing on Paul. Even in the midst of this, God is blessing Paul. If he had to be in prison, at least he's got only one soldier, so he's not harassed, and he's got a place by himself where he can study and where he can do everything he needs to do. And we do know that he was studying. That's why, again, some of the rulers accused him of much studying, making him mad. And look at verse 17. And it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. And so when they had come together, he said to them, men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who when they had examined me wanted to let me go because there was no cause of putting me to death. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar. Not that I had anything of which to accuse my nation. But for this reason, therefore, I have called for you to see you and to speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I'm bound with this chain. And they said to him, well, Paul, we've neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or spoken any evil of you at all. This is amazing to me. Simply amazing. Now, first of all, Paul calling all the Jewish leaders, they would have wanted to come. Paul used to be a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a very respected Jew in that day, raised at the feet of Gamaliel. And so all these things, Paul had this kind of credentials, if you will, to back him up. They would have wanted to, if Paul gave the message to come, they would have, especially if he hadn't been slandered against. But what's amazing to me about this is that all the years Paul was in prison, and even his travel there to Rome, no letters nor any Jews from Jerusalem had brought any bad news about Paul to Rome. This is amazing to me. Why? Because although Paul felt the need to defend himself, and Paul right here jumps into it. He starts immediately, hey guys, and he jumps right into this self-defense. I did this, I did this, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. And he gets to the end of this big argument of how he didn't do anything wrong. And they look at him and say, Paul, we haven't even heard these accusations against you. What are you talking about? And it's kind of like Paul standing there going, oh, I kind of thought maybe everybody heard the gossip. I kind of thought maybe everybody'd heard the slander. I kind of thought all my accusations were kind of out there. So I was trying to quell it all before it, we went any further. And then I could tell you what the truth was and then begin to give you the gospel and go from there. They said, what are you talking about? We don't even know. Here's my point. A lot of times, and we know that the Bible says that Satan is what? The accuser of the brethren. We know there's going to be accusations that are false. We know there's going to be slander and gossip. But a lot of times we're worried about what's being said about us out there and nobody's even heard anything. And I don't want to discourage you, but people don't talk about you as much as you think they do. You're not really that important, and neither am I. Now, we are to God, but people don't sit around talking about you and about what you're doing and about your life. They just don't do that. Well, Paul's thinking all these things are happening and all these rumors are spreading, and I've got to go and do all this. And it's amazing to me, not only that it wasn't there, but also notice this. When Paul was faithful to do what God called him to do, God took care of all the false accusations. Note that, believer. When Paul was faithful to do what God called him to do, God covered the gossip, God covered the slander, God covered the accusations, and didn't even allow them to arrive there when Paul thought, now I've got to go ahead and do this big battle just to redeem my reputation. Again, God wasn't only protecting Paul physically through the storm, God was protecting Paul verbally through the storm. Simply supernatural protection. And why would this be important? Because if Paul had been falsely accused and slandered before he got to Rome, they may not have listened to him. But God protected him, and God guarded him from all that, and now there's a wide open door to minister the gospel to those that are in Rome. But I find it also very interesting, guys, and note this. No doubt the accusations written against Paul, at least some of them, were on the ship with Paul when he left Caesarea. What do I mean? You couldn't go to Caesar without having some accusations. If you were sent to Caesar, there had to be accusations. So all these accusations, these false accusations that the Jews were making against Paul and attacking Paul in front of Felix and Festus and all these things, these would have been written down. These would have been carried in a letter with the soldiers to Rome so that it could have been presented to Caesar. And then what happened on the way to Rome? A terrible storm. Probably a storm that Paul thought, I'm going to die. We're all going to die. But he didn't. And I don't want to put things in Paul's mouth or say that Paul lacked faith. Paul probably really believed he wouldn't die because God had promised him he'd get to Rome. But no doubt Paul, being human, probably had fear like we would have had. What's going to happen? Even when the angel appeared to him and finally said, hey, you're going to make it. Everything's going to be okay, just like God promised. But the ship's going down. I don't know about you guys, but if God told me, okay, Mark, you're on a Caribbean cruise, right? And you're going to make it to port, but this cruise ship's going to sink first. That wouldn't be a lot of encouragement. I would be glad to know I was going to make it. But I wonder how many legs the sharks would get before I got there, right? The bottom line is that this was still going to be a tough journey for Paul in the midst of all this. And yet God protected him. Now, guys, here's the thing that really blew me away and had never, ever occurred to me until this week. Had it not been for the storm that brought fear to Paul's heart, he would not have been protected from the accusations. What's my point? A lot of times, whatever trial you're facing, God will allow a storm to come in, and it might seem fearful, it might seem vicious, it might seem something that can bring you down and sink your ship, and it's the very thing that God is going to use to protect you. Remember, God is the one in control. Isn't that great? And so don't be afraid of the storm. You need to see God's divine hand even in the midst of the storm. Yeah, I love it. Paul here, he gets there, finally settled in Rome, gives his defense. lays it out there. They say, we haven't even heard whether this is true or not, anything. We don't know. We just want to hear what it is that you want to say. He said, we've heard no one speak evil of you. But verse 22, but look at this, what they say. Because the rumors hadn't gotten there, we desire to hear from you what you think. For concerning this sect, we know that it is spoken of against everywhere. Again, so the door, again, obviously still open here for Paul. So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning until evening. Now, again, note this. A lot of things to look at here. Notice they set a day where they would come to Paul and he would tell them about the Lord. So God had opened up a door now, not only protected him from the verbal attacks, but now God had opened up a door for Paul to be able to share the gospel. They set a day. Many of them come. And again, notice this. I love it about Paul because it says that Paul spoke with them from morning till evening. Again, Paul was never one who lacked words. He always had great zeal to preach the gospel. And, you know, Paul would just kind of, you know, you can understand if you're going to go to one of Paul's services, you better expect to go over. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what Paul was going to be like. And Paul was just one of those who kept going. He had so much to share and so much to do, and Paul wanted to go. And as I was thinking about this, I understand, you know, being timely. I'm fairly timely. And I think if you've been coming to Calvary Chapel, you note that. I typically finish on time. I typically start on time. And now with the radio station, we pretty much have no choice, right? I mean, you're to the second. You're live on the air. You've got to start on time, and you have some leeway maybe at the end. But for the most part, you'll find that because of my upbringing and because of the American culture and because of the responsibility I feel toward you guys, I'm fairly prompt on the time as far as that goes. Paul didn't have those constraints. Paul wasn't live on the air. Paul didn't have, you know, the next service he had to do when this one was done or whatever. So Paul just kept going all day long. And here's where I want to challenge us. How many of us have trouble making it through the normal Sunday morning service because we're ready to go? And when you think about somebody like Paul who has spent all day teaching the word, but I hear about some of these places you go on missions trips and they'll literally spend all day. I'm talking to someone who was sharing with me, yes, we had a prayer meeting, a 12-hour prayer meeting, and everyone was standing the entire time. I'm thinking, can you imagine trying to pull that off in America? Can you imagine what would be said? They were hungry. They desired God. They couldn't get enough of the Lord. And Paul just laid it all out there. No doubt Paul said, this is my shot. How long are these guys going to listen? I don't know. He goes from morning until evening. And note this. This is important to note as well. Notice it says at the end of that verse, he spoke to them from both the law of Moses and the prophets. Why? They didn't have the New Testament yet. Paul was writing the letters. They were beginning to circulate. Paul wrote some more later on. But this is all they had. Their Bible was the law of Moses and the prophets, which is what we call today the Old Testament. Now, what is my point in that? Because notice it was from the Old Testament that he taught them about Jesus. And it was from the Old Testament that he gave them the gospel. And thirdly, it was from the Old Testament that he said, this is the word of God, and it's important that we as believers know it. Guys, all of those things are attacked today. There are people that say we don't even need the Old Testament today. I've had people say, why in the world would you guys ever be in the Old Testament? I hear at Calvary Chapel, you guys get in the Old Testament. That's all they had in the early church. It's God's word. That's why we're in it. We're in both. The Old Testament has not passed away. The law has been fulfilled, yes, but the Old Testament has not passed away. We need to know the Old Testament. We need to study the Old Testament, and Paul knew it so well, he was able to lead people to Jesus Christ through the Old Testament. We need to know it that well as well. And so he preaches to them morning till evening from the Old Testament, giving them the word of God. And look at verse 24, and some were persuaded by these things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. Note this, that will always be the case. Don't be discouraged when you share and some people don't believe. I used to want everyone to come to the Lord. You know, I'd want to share and say, everyone, I want everyone to receive the Lord. And for me, again, not really operating in the gift of evangelism, I rarely saw anybody come to the Lord. I was always planting seeds and sharing about the gospel. But I didn't get to see that many come to the Lord. And yet, guys, I want to encourage you this. Listen, whenever you share the gospel, whether it's your family or work or in a public place or in this kind of setting, some will believe, some will disbelieve. It is not your job to make them believe. It is not my job to make them believe. Yes, we persuade them. And we lay out the facts and the evidence, but the Holy Spirit does the convicting. Paul laid it out. Some actually got saved. This is exciting. Some actually got saved. So rather than looking at it as, well, you know, only a few did. Some did believe. Some were persuaded. And so this is a success story to that degree. Now, not to the degree Paul would like it to be. But look at verse 25. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul and said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Paul now pulls out of Isaiah a prophecy about these people. Not only in Isaiah's day was this true, but now it's prophetic of people in Paul's day. And guys, I want to say this. This is prophetic of people in our day as well. Because what Paul is saying here, literally in verse 26, what it literally means, go to this people and hearing and continuing to hear, they won't hear and they won't understand. And seeing and continuing to see, they won't see and perceive. What's my point? There are people today that grow up in church and never give their life to Christ. They spend their whole life hearing the Bible. They spend their whole life with people sharing with them and they never receive the Lord. I was one of those for 25 years. I grew up in church, didn't know him. Listen, just because you go to church, you're not saved. I know you know that. But I have to mention that in case we have a visitor, in case we have someone who doesn't know the Lord, and maybe you're doing your good deed by going to church today. That will not get you into heaven. It's confessing your sin and repenting of your sin and receiving Jesus as your Lord. That's what gets you into heaven. And here they were simply hearing. They were in synagogue every week. They were religious Jews. And Paul says, you're like those people that have closed your ears. You won't listen. You continually see, but you don't see. You continually hear, but you don't hear. And notice it says that after Paul tells them that, and note this as well, in verse 27, it says, and their eyes, they have closed. They made the choice. It wasn't that God made them not be able to see. They chose, and because of that, their heart was hardened in that choice. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. Now, that would have made them mad. And they will hear it. You won't hear it, the supposed chosen of God, but the Gentiles will hear it, the ones that you say are not chosen to God. As you know, the Jews believed Gentiles were condemned. And that no Gentile, that is non-Jew, could go to heaven unless they became a Jew. And he's saying, you know what? You guys who think because you've gone to church your whole life, because you grew up a Methodist, because you grew up a Baptist, because you grew up a non-denominational, because you grew up a Presbyterian or a Catholic or whatever your upbringing was, because you grew up in that, you think you're going to heaven. He says you're not going to heaven if you're not repenting and receiving Jesus as Lord. You're simply hearing it but not hearing it. You're seeing it but not perceiving it. And he said, these Gentiles, I'm sharing with them, they're coming to Christ. They're believing. They're hearing this. He goes on and says, they'll hear it. And notice verse 29, and when they heard these words, the Jews departed, and they had a great dispute among themselves. Again, note this. They disagreed among themselves, and whenever you introduce the Lord into a situation, you can be sure there's going to be disagreements. You can be sure there's going to be divisions. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 10, 34 through 36. He said, do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now, this doesn't mean the Lord doesn't want peace. He just knows that when he comes and says there's only one way to heaven, it's going to divide mankind, just like a sword would cut it in two. He says, for I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Notice this, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He says, even your own family may reject you if you stand on the truth. But that's what we have to do. And notice Paul gives scripture to show them that God predicted the Jews would reject the truth and tells them they're the ones that chose to do it. They closed their eyes. God didn't close them. And so they'll hear it. They departed arguing among themselves. Verse 30, then Paul dwelt two whole years, again, two more years, in his own rented house and received all who came to him.
While our time at the table of God's Word is ending for today, please keep reading in the book of Acts. From the inspiring faith of Stephen, to walking through Paul's conversion, to observing how the early church grew and thrived, there's much more to gain from this eventful book. Jesus had promised to send a helper, and he certainly delivered in sending his Spirit to overflowing in these new Christians. It must have been an exciting and also very challenging period of time that these men and women were getting to be a part of. If there was something in this message that you need to hear again, you can go to thewaymedia.net and navigate to Come to the Table to listen to, or download this or other messages. You can also download the Way Media app so you know when new broadcasts are happening. If you're a prayer warrior, we very much value your consistent prayers during this study through Acts. God can do mighty things through the faithful prayers of those who seek after Him. We're earnestly expecting Him to do big things in and through this radio ministry. We're thankful for your prayers, and we're trusting God to use this platform to get the word out and for it to spread like wildfire. Pastor Mark has more to share through the book of Acts, so we hope you'll be able to join us next time. We look forward to what will be shared about these people of faith and the trials and triumphs they faced as they walk out their lives in a way that sought to honor God. May these accounts inspire you to do the same and to come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.